I'm Julie Mooney, and this is Teaching Strides, Season 2, Episode 4. Teaching Strides is a podcast series featuring Mount Royal University faculty discussing some of their finest teaching practices. Teaching Strides is recorded and produced in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in Treaty 7 territory, the traditional territories of the Niitsitapi Nations, which include the Siitsika, the Piikani, and the Kainai. We also acknowledge this place as the traditional lands of the Tsuut'ina Nation, Iyarhi Nakoda Nation, and the Métis Nation, Region 3. In Season 2, our featured guests share some of their teaching and learning stories, which we hope will inspire faculty colleagues throughout the Academy to engage in reflective thinking and interdisciplinary discussion about teaching and learning. Today we speak with Professor Janice Miller-Young about reversing roles for learner engagement. Students assess their teacher. Janice Miller-Young completed her BSc in Mechanical Engineering and a PhD in Mechanical Engineering Biomechanics from the University of Calgary. At Mount Royal University, she designed and delivered courses in both the former Engineering Transfer Program and General Education. Professor Miller-Young strongly believes in the importance of experiential learning and student-centered learning environments. She integrates into her teaching such creative pedagogical practices as a problem-based learning CSI project, the flipped classroom, and active learning. Her research focuses on teaching and learning, in particular, helping students increase their learning by making certain concepts and processes explicit and narrowing the gap between novice and expert thinking. Professor Miller-Young served as the director of the Institute for the Scholarship of Teaching and Learning at Mount Royal University from 2013 to 2016. Professor Miller-Young, welcome to Teaching Strides.
Thanks, Julie.
Janice, tell us a little bit about the context of the story you're going to be sharing with us.
Well, this story is particularly set in a course that I used to teach for engineering students, but really would be useful, and I know other colleagues have used my presentation for other courses where students are learning how to do presentations. That's what I was teaching them in the teaching memory I'm going to talk about today.
So I'll invite you to share your story with us now.
What I wanted to do was help students prepare and deliver high-quality presentations. In my context, these were first-year engineering students. The course was an engineering design and communications course, so they were working on projects all semester, and then at the end of the semester, they needed to present their big final project to the rest of the class. And so when it came time for them to start working on their presentations, I wanted to give them some helpful guidelines, but I thought, you know, I could give them a list of all the qualities of a good professional presentation, but you know, they could look those up and it would be boring. So I decided to go a little bit more creative, and I ended up doing as bad a presentation as possible for them. So I called it How to Do a Bad Presentation. I made slides to go along with my presentation. I made them as awful as I could possibly make them. Every slide was different. They had terrible colors, clashing colors, crazy fonts, you know, everything I could think of. Too much text on some slides, diagrams with text so small that you couldn't actually see it, all the things that actually, you know, are our pet peeves when we see bad presentations, right? And we've probably seen a few ourselves.
What not to do.
Exactly. So I made the slides, and then I also tried to think of things that I could do during the presentation that were bad as well. So I put keys in my pocket and jingled them as I was talking. I tried to look at my feet and not make eye contact with the class. You know, I paced around nervously in front of the class. I tried to say a lot and those kinds of things. So that was kind of fun. And, you know, it took a lot of time. So I put a lot of effort and preparation into that particular presentation. And I even enlisted a colleague, which made it even more fun in a way. Like, we were laughing about all the things that I was adding to the presentation, and he gave me some additional suggestions. And then we even came up with the idea that he would call me during the time that I was making the presentation to the class. And of course, I answered my phone and I chatted with him for a bit in front of the class. And it was all really, really, really fun.
Did you get laughter from the students, or was there sort of this awkward silence in those moments?
No, they laughed. Yeah, we all. I tried not to laugh, but I probably did a little bit myself. I was having fun with it. Yeah.
Nice.
What I did when I actually delivered this then was I asked the students to write down as many things as they noticed that I did wrong. And so that's how I engaged them in the presentation. So it wasn't just them watching. They were thinking during the time. And then we followed up with the discussion and talked about all the things.
So in the first time you did this, you had the whole class evaluating your presentation.
Yeah, and we had a great discussion, but actually it was funny because they actually complained about it because they said I did so many things wrong that they couldn't possibly write them all down fast enough.
Okay.
And so we laughed about that as well. But the next time I did it, I decided to split it up. And so I also made it a bit of a competition, but I split up half the class. So one side of the class was supposed to record all the things on the slides that were wrong, and then the other half was supposed to record all the things that I actually did that were, well, I shouldn't say wrong, just not very good.
Right. Yeah. Not the standard of a professional presentation.
Exactly.
What did you notice in your students in their learning about presentations? Did you find that this exercise with them led to better performance in their own presentations, or what happened?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to say, right? But I do know that it was definitely more memorable for them this way. So as they were working on their presentations in class, I could often hear, you know, comments about my presentation or don't do that because remember when Janice did this kind of thing. I heard them talking about the things during their own preparation time. So I think it was much more memorable that way than delivering sort of a list of best practices. And it was instead of saying, this is what you should do and why, I was really demonstrating the why part.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, it made the point better and it was definitely more memorable for them. The other thing I thought was interesting is the part that about me having to practice so much, because it made me realize how much time and experience I'd had in order to be a fairly good, I don't want to say excellent, but or expert, but a pretty good presenter in front of my students.
Mm-hmm.
And so sort of made me a little bit more sympathetic to them, right? Because I had to practice to be bad, and it made me remember how when I was at their stage, I had to do a lot more practice than I do now in order to do a good presentation.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. kind of put you back with the novice hat.
Yeah, because usually I can just wing things most of the time now, but it reminded me of the need when you're new at something, the need to practice more.
If a colleague was to ask you, you know, they hear this episode and they're interested in implementing some kind of similar reversing of roles for student engagement and student learning, are there any tips or advice that you would offer?
Definitely take the time to prepare something meaningful. I mean, I could have just done the slides, right? And that would have been okay, but it really became almost a performance, that particular presentation, and I had to practice at having a style that I didn't actually have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the conversations and the practice that I did with my colleague beforehand were definitely valuable, and again, took time. So make sure you leave enough time to prepare something if you're going to be doing something that's not typical to what you're normally doing, and engage with a colleague and get some feedback and practice a little bit. And of course, like I said, I got more ideas from the conversations with that particular colleague, and it made it even better.
Yeah, and it sounds like it made it really fun for you
it was
as well.
Fun. Yeah,
right?
We laughed together and I laughed with the students. And yeah, it was, like I said, one of my most memorable teaching moments.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thanks for asking.
And thanks for joining us on Teaching Strides. This has been Episode 4 of Teaching Strides, Season 2. Join us next time when entrepreneur and country music singer Paul Brandt discusses the power of vulnerability, the veracity of experience.
It's intimidating. It really is. The things I think that go through your mind are, what if I'm not smart enough or interesting enough or relevant enough?
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the Teaching Strides series on iTunes. Visit us at teachingstrides.ca, where we post guest bios and photos, and where you can sign up for email alerts and our RSS feed. Teaching Strides is a production of the Academic Development Center at Mount Royal University.